Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Data Vault. I'm your host, Scott Massioni. Today, we'll be speaking with Gavin Baker, the Center for Effective Government's Open Data Analyst, about highlights in open data this year. We'll also be getting a sneak peek into what 2014 holds. Gavin, thanks for being here. Could you tell us a couple of the top stories in open data in 2013?
Sure. Probably the biggest story is the Open Data Executive Order and the Open Data Policy that won't be released to go along with the executive order. Those were in May. And the executive order and the new OMB policy are really big deal. They change the framework for agencies to manage their data. It sort of was laid out the year before in 2012 with the digital government strategy. The digital government strategy was kind of a preview or precursor to what was going to come in the executive order, but the executive order and the OMB policy lay it out much more firmly in terms of the administration's strong expectation that agencies are going to make available what they can and are going to change the way that they create data assets and acquire new systems. That the approach that agencies will need to take from now on is to always be thinking about how that information might need to be used later, where it might need to flow, and to structure everything in a way that will make it easy to reuse or extract or interoperate with anything that it might need to work with in the future. And you know, we think that that is going to really encourage agencies to think hard about those kind of requirements and avoid a lot of the problems that exist today and have existed for years, where agencies will get stuck with legacy systems that are hard to get to work with, that don't play well with others. It's hard to get data out of them. It's hard to get the information to work with new systems or to be available to disclose to the public. And so we really think that the new executive order and the new OMB policy can have big impacts and really positive impacts for open data. I think that's the biggest story of 2013. And then there's, you know, a lot of agencies have continued to make progress on making additional data available. That's always positive. There's work continuing on improving data.gov, adding new features and improving usability there, which is also welcome news. And towards the end of the year, it was just the beginning of December, that the administration released its second Open Government National Action Plan, which doesn't say much that is really new, but reaffirms their commitment to keep working on implementing the open data policy, keep working on improving data.gov, and keep working with agencies to help them get more of their information available to the public. So those are all positive things. And the other really big government tech story of 2013 is not really directly related to open data, but I think ultimately it could end up having implications for it. Of course, I'm talking about healthcare.gov and the major challenges in launching that. And the, you know, the Obama administration for several years now has been trying to reform the way that federal IT is managed, but I'm sensing at this point kind of exasperation that things haven't gotten better faster. In the wake of healthcare.gov, President Obama has talked about wanting to reform IT procurement try to change some of the ways that government develops, acquires, and manages technology. If those pan out to be additional reforms, then we think that they can go hand in hand with the open data policy, and they could really sort of accelerate progress on the open data policy, because it will create the opportunity for things to, everything related to federal IT to speed up, to be cheaper, more agile, and that could have a lot of benefits, but certainly one of them is that it may make it easier for agencies to open more of their data assets. So I think those are the big stories as I see them.
Great. So where do you see open data going in 2014? What are some of the predictions that you have?
Sure. Well, we're looking forward to implementation efforts continuing on the open data policy. Like I said, it was December of this year that the administration recommitted publicly to a strong implementation effort on the data policy. So we know that a lot of work has been going into that in 2013. We think there's going to continue to be a lot of work on that in 2014. Similarly with improvements to data.gov. I wouldn't try to put odds on it, but certainly we're hopeful that the Data Act might move in Congress. That could make for significant improvements when it comes to data about government spending, contracts, procurement, it would be a real welcome improvement for the way that kind of information is managed, and making more of it more easily accessible to the public, and easier for developers and technologists to use information about government spending. So there's certainly an opportunity that Congress may move on that in 2014. My recollection is that it has been both the House and Senate committees have approved that, so we could be looking at floor action on the Data Act in 2014, which would be very welcome improvements.
So what is the Senate's holdup with the Data Act? You know, they've kind of let this languish since it was passed by the House.
Certainly priorities are major holdup. In general, the gridlock that we've seen in Congress over the past couple of years has slowed down everything, even stuff that is not of a partisan nature, like the Data Act. It's still, the kind of partisanship and gridlock gets stuck in the gears and slows everything down, including the stuff where there are not really partisan disagreements, like the Data Act. Some of it does have to do with the bill itself. It's gone through a lot of changes over the past, I think it was 2011 when it was first introduced, so over the past 3 or so years. A lot of the challenges had to do with the cost of implementing the bill. It's really hard to get good estimates as to what implementing a bill like the Data Act would cost. the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, sort of makes their best guesses, but it's sort of conventional wisdom that when it comes to transparency and accountability reforms, CBO estimates are not very accurate, because they're, you know, it's not like a entitlement program or, you know, creating a new spending program where you're saying like, okay, we're going to build a bridge, here's how much a bridge costs, so we can come up with a pretty good estimate for what it'll cost. You know, certainly in the short term, the Data Act would have some transition costs as agencies would have to think about re-engineering some of their systems, or as they're acquiring new systems to incorporate new requirements. Over the long term, we think it has the possibility to save a lot of money by increasing interoperability, making data more available, which makes it easier for people to detect if there's waste or fraud or problematic spending. And so you can save money by detecting and eliminating that. This doesn't factor into a CBO score, but would potentially streamline a lot of the reporting that recipients of federal spending do. So there's a lot of benefits that are not counted in a CBO score, but still Congress, certainly some people in Congress are very serious about whatever the number comes back from CBO is, those costs have to be offset. And so the bigger that number is, the harder it is to find all the money to offset it. And so, you know, there have been efforts to try to get that number down, whatever the number is, ultimately it has to be offset somehow. So I think that has been part of the why it has, part of the time that it has taken since the bill was originally introduced until now, has been dealing with that issue of what does it cost. I kind of put cost in air quotes because it's really about, you know, what does the CBO score say it's going to cost, which is not necessarily what it actually will cost. The House passed the Data Act in the previous Congress, and that was a more expansive version than the one that's being considered now, a more expensive version, according to the CBO score, than the one that's being considered now. And then just recently, the House passed the Data Act again, with everybody but one person supporting it. So, you know, we have seen the House of Representatives certainly is not any great fan right now of making big expansions in government spending. So the fact that all but one member of the House supported it gives you an indication that this is not actually going to be a big ticket item, but it's one of those sort of kind of paperwork procedural requirements that that you got to work through. So that's one of the things that they've been working through. And you know, the House and the Senate have been collaborating on this. Now that the House has passed it on the floor, we are hopeful that in 2014 the Senate will take it up as well.
What are some interesting data sets that you worked with this year and might be working with in 2014?
You know, there's always a lot of surprises in terms of what agencies do and don't put out. One of the things over the past couple of years that I've found to be really interesting is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's database of complaints from consumers about their bank, their credit card, and so on. And I've seen a lot of stories that journalists are writing about a lot of local newspapers and things like that, where a newspaper in Oklahoma will say, you know, what are the biggest complaints that people in Oklahoma have about their bank or about their credit card, or which are the banks based in Oklahoma that get the most complaints or things like that. So people have been making a lot of use of that data since the CFPB has started to make it available, which I think has been really interesting. I guess you could call it a data set. One set of data that I'm hoping may move toward disclosure in 2014 is Medicare payments to physicians. Going back to the 70s, there's been a court order, blocking Medicare from releasing information about how much they paid any particular doctor. In 2013, a court finally lifted that injunction, so that issue is being dealt with now. In 2013, Medicare asked people, you know, now that this injunction has been lifted, what do you think we should do? And a lot of people sent in their comments giving their views about what they think Medicare should disclose and how they might want to make that information available. We are in favor of making that information available when some of the information, so overall this information has never been available. When parts of it have been available to people, they've been able to do some really interesting stuff with it. The Wall Street Journal a few years back was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize based on their series of articles that they did digging into Medicare claims data and finding people who had made suspicious claims or strange patterns. ProPublica recently had the opportunity to look at some related data and looked at prescribing patterns, found doctors who were prescribing things in dangerous ways or writing prescriptions that could be dangerous to the patients. And so we think there's a lot of potential knowledge that could be gained, fraud, waste that might be detected and prevented from making this data available. Especially since Medicare is such a huge program, you know, the estimates for improper payments in Medicare are on the range of $30-40 billion a year. That's more money than the whole budget for several cabinet departments. And that's not the money that Medicare spent, that's the money that they think only that they wrongly spent. So there's a lot of opportunities there. And in addition to Medicare having the comment period last year asking people what they should do about it, which we're hopeful they might act on in 2014, Congress is looking at the issue as well. Senators Wyden and Grassley have a bill called the Medicare Data Act, and I believe there's a House companion as well. And provisions from that bill have been attached to the Medicare bill that House and Senate committees just approved, what's called the Doc Fix, or changing the sustainable growth rate, about how Medicare reimbursements are, the costs for Medicare reimbursements are set. And in the budget agreement that just passed in November, provisions related to that were set to expire at the end of this year, Congress extended them until the end of March 2014. So we think January, February, or March, Congress is going to be taking up these bills and bringing them to the floor. Thankfully, as I said, both the House and Senate bills have these provisions about making the Medicare data available. Both the House and Senate committees passed their bills with broad bipartisan support, so we're hopeful that as these bills come to the floor, those provisions are going to remain in them, and potentially in 2014. Well, I think the actual deadline that the bill would set is by 2015 to make the data available, but you know, in 2014 we would see progress towards making that information available, and I think there'd be a lot of very interesting stuff to see in there, so that could potentially be a very very interesting data set that may be becoming available in the near future.
And finally, what has the Center for Effective Government been doing in open data this past year and might be doing a little bit in the future?
Sure. Well, we've been doing a lot of work around that Freedom of Information Act this year. That's going to continue in 2014. There is a bill pending in the House that the House Committee has approved to reform FOIA, try to make it easier for people to use to access public information from the government. And the Obama administration, again, in their Open Government National Action Plan that was released at the beginning of December, that plan includes several commitments about improving the way that agencies administer the Freedom of Information Act, making it easier for people to use, creating one website where people can send requests to any agency in the government, so there would be a single portal instead of having to look at 100 different places to figure out where you need to send a request. You know, we've been working and are going to continue to work with the administration on implementing those commitments. We've been working with Congress, and we're going to continue working with Congress in 2014, looking at the potential for legislative reforms to the act. As implementation moves forward on the open data policy, we've been looking at that some, and we're going to be looking at that more as it moves along as well. The data inventories that are part of the open data policy are potentially going to be a really interesting thing. This has been an issue that folks have been trying to grapple with for years. It would often be a very circular conversation where transparency advocates would go into a room and sit down with government folks, and government folks would say, well, what do you want? And the transparency folks would say, well, what do you have? And it's sort of a chicken and an egg problem. Of course, there's a lot of stuff that, there's a lot of information that transparency advocates specifically knew about and wanted, but in general, there's always been this intense curiosity to know just what are the types of information that different agencies have. And it's in addition to wanting to know what they have, these kind of inventories can also be really helpful because it will help people outside the government to understand where the information is kept and how it's organized, which can help a lot in terms of thinking about what data sets people might want, or how to word a Freedom of Information Act request. To understand how the information is organized makes that sort of stuff a lot easier. So agencies have just started to publish their inventories that were required by the open data policy. Our understanding is that they are at an early stage in that. This is something agencies have expressed that this is going to be a challenge for many agencies, and it's going to be something that they're going to need to continue to work on. So we're hoping to see a lot of progress in that in 2014, and have more agencies publish more and more robust and complete inventories. And as these inventories become available, I feel confident that people are going to start to look at them. And as they look at them, they're going to find stuff that they would like to have. They're going to identify data sets that they'll be interested in. There will be, you know, both the opportunity to work through the open data process to give feedback to agencies about, here are the kind of data sets that we would like you to make available when you can, And then people also will be able to use FOIA to make requests for things that they learn about through the open data through the data inventories rather. So I don't. That's sort of a known unknown. I don't know what people are going to find once they start looking in those inventories, but I feel confident that they're going to find some things that are interesting. So I'm looking forward to finding out what those are going to be.
Great. Well, Gavin, thank you so much for joining the Data Vault.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Gavin Baker, Open Data Analyst for the Center for Effective Government. And that's it for the Data Vault. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you after the holidays. I'm your host, Scott Massioni. Have a great holiday.